Hope can lead us to faith, and faith gives us reason to hope. Romans 8, verses 18 to 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope, like faith, is not always something we can see. It is, however, something that we have, and one day we will see what it is we've hoped for. It will come to pass. That is, of course, if our hope is in the sure promises of God. It is possible to put our hope in anything we choose, really. We can hope to be an Olympic athlete. But if we are not suited for it, not designed for it, not designated for it, not predestined by God to be one, we will not be one. We'll be a wannabe if we insist on pushing past God's boundaries, but we'll never truly be an Olympic athlete. Hope, like faith, must be empowered by God. In order for something to be empowered by God, it must be His will. God does not endorse what is not His will. So we need to stay linked to God in this hope. This could actually be the very reason why so many people in the world today have such little hope. It's the linking to God. Or they hope what isn't God's will. And they get angry because God won't give them what isn't His will. That's like a child being angry at you because you don't feed them ice cream 24/7. But nonetheless, that's what people can be like. Ever notice that the more times we are disappointed, the less hope it is we have? Sometimes it is the light in tunnel 37 and it's just another train. And that tears at our hope. But that's hoping in things. We can't hope in things. We must go past that so that things might be as God would order them. And the less hopeful we are, the more desperate we become in our search for self-actualization. We don't feel complete. Something's not right inside. Not just we don't have what we wanted, we don't feel that we're accomplished or successful. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is to say, if these are not met, our hope diminishes. And these are simply what they are in order from the bottom to the top. Physiological, that's our first need. Enough to eat, a roof over our heads, and someone to share our life with. Security, our need to feel safe. Belonging, our need to be a part of something larger than ourselves. And then esteem, a sense of self-worth. And at the top of it all, personal accomplishment, to have goals and to be successful in them. So that's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's what he figures people, the natural man, it's true, it's what he needs. The natural man. You're not called to be the natural man. God has called you out of the world to be born again of His Spirit, to not just be a natural man. Nonetheless, these things still coexist, but let me go on to explain some more. All of these needs are God's will for us. And any of these things He may withhold from us at any time in order to get our attention. What did He do with the Tower of Babel way back in Genesis? Built this huge tower up into the heavens. And then God looked at them and He's talking to Himself and He says, this isn't good. They're doing all this apart from me. Well, why would God be upset? If a person is successful, why is God upset? Because any success apart from God is not success. They're perishing. Ever wonder how many successful people will actually burn in hell? A good many. A good many. We were not created to just be successful. We're not created to just be restricted to this hierarchy of needs. That's like an animal's needs. We're more than an animal. So God may withhold these things if He needs to get our attention. The most important thing for God is to not have His love for us considered as insignificant. He doesn't like to be ignored because He's a vital part of who we are, or should be. And so if there's a vital part missing, I ignored God for a long time. Not as long as some, but I ignored Him and I paid the consequences. His desire is to have us conform to His image because it is only in His image that we were created. Didn't evolve from a monkey? Wasn't some black soup that suddenly ordered itself? It's created. The earth is not new or old as some people think it is. It is therefore only in His image that we will experience the abundance of His life. Think of that. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And what did He give us? His life. He's not talking just about more of us or more of the world. He's talking about the abundance of His life. Born again by the Spirit of God. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. Ah, now it's starting to make sense. The hope is not God doing things for us. The hope is God giving His life to us. And us living in accordance with His life. Staying in step, if you will. We need to remember that we were not just created by God, but we're created for God. We, unlike animals, have been created in the image of God for fellowship with God. What do you think is the definition of a hopeless person? What would we say? Is it someone who is unruly, unteachable, immoral, a constant troublemaker? In light of what we're considering today, there's only one answer. A hopeless person is simply a person who is putting their hope in everything except God. Hoping this will make it work. Hoping I'll feel better if that happens. Hoping. That's living for self. And it's hopeless. Living for self is hopeless. We could say that a person without hope is one with a profound lack in their life. Created for God means that we were created for His will. We were created for His will. Not something we have to do. It's something that we flourish when we're doing. There's nothing that fulfills and drives and causes a person to sleep at night than doing God's will. It brings a huge satisfaction that I can't explain. But I know it's there. And I know it's not there when I live for self. Not just to do His will, but to enjoy His will. To live abundantly in His will. To live extravagantly in His will, benefiting others. To enjoy the grace of God and the kindness of God. To enjoy being this way with our neighbors, just as God is with our neighbors. The sun comes up for them too, you know. It rains on their homes too. They have enough and sometimes not enough, just like us. The only difference between us and them, maybe, if they're not believers, is God. He's the only difference. The only difference between life before Christ and life after Christ is God. We can't take glory for that. We can only glory in that God has given graciously. Created for God also means that we were not created for anything other than His will. That's why it doesn't work. We're created for I've used equipment, a lot of it, over the years. I've used some of it wrongly. Wasn't made for that application, and it breaks down every time. But if you use it for what it's made for, works fine. Works endlessly. This is why we are so profoundly let down when we put our hope anywhere other than in God. And remember, we can't have God without God's will. It doesn't work. Oh, I believe in God. Yeah, tell me about that. Because if you really do, we will really see Him in your life. It's not about believing in God. It's believing you were created for God. To be with God. And to God, for God to be in you and with you in all things, at all times. We can have a God, small g. So we can have a God, small g, but this will also let us down and leave us without hope, because God has said, "You shall have no other gods before me." It doesn't work because it's not in the design. You believe in gravity, right? Because it'll hurt you if you don't. So we're careful. You believe in God. Hey, if you don't engage that reality, that can hurt you too. We're made a certain way for a certain thing. So, no other gods before me, and that is in my presence. That is in your life while I'm in your life. If we haven't realized it, that it's everywhere all the time. Exodus 20, verse 3, we were created for God. Just for fun, let's add one more thing to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Let's put as our primary need, right at the bottom, not at the top, right at the bottom, because it holds everything up. Let's put God in there, right at the bottom of our primary needs. He is the first need we have, absolutely. Because when babies are born, they go like this. Why is that? They were created to. I saw one of my grandchildren. I was helping my... Things got mixed up at the time of this child coming, and grandma ended up with the other children, and I ended up at the hospital. It's supposed to be the other way around. So there I am in the delivery room, something I'm not comfortable with because I'm old school and I never went in there. So I'm in there, and then I'm in a headlock, and my daughter just about breaking my glasses, and then she stopped that, and then the nurse tapped on my shoulder, and here's this beautiful little baby laying on her tummy, going like this. Who told her to do that? She was made to do that. She was made to do that. We were created. We didn't just evolve. We were created. And we need to connect with our Creator all through life. As a child, Jesus said, well, there's a child, a brand new one. And look, responding just like God created them to respond. Perfect. So we put God in this thing. Yeah. Our primary need. God. Let's put Him before our physiological needs even. Psalm 1. Let me read Psalm 1 to you. Short psalm. Very explicit. Here is the story of a man who has put God as his primary need. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So apparently then, without putting God in that hierarchy of our needs, first, at the very base of everything, nothing else is going to make sense. Nothing else makes sense. We chase a lot of stuff. Nothing else really makes sense. Nothing else really fits. Elizabeth and Zacharias, just going back into our Christmas story a little bit. We're told we're righteous and blameless. They prayed their whole married life for a baby. They were denied until they were too old to have a baby. They couldn't do it. And God gave them a baby. Miraculous. He waits so that He can show us the miraculous. He will inconvenience us so He can show us the miraculous. And He knows when to do that because He knows if we're actually ready to pay attention or not. Thing is, we need to talk to ourselves. Are we ready to pay attention? And if we're ready to pay attention, look for the miraculous, because God is all over that. He watches unbelievers as well as believers. He knows everybody and everything they're thinking. So He gave them a baby. Maybe we get our wants confused with our needs, which leaves us feeling less hopeful when only our needs are met.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Why not? They asked Jesus how they should pray, and he said, give us this day our daily bread. Just enough. People in third world countries die of starvation. People in North America die of heart disease because they eat too much and exercise too little. Give us this day our needs. Stop the wantonness all the time. Our needs. Our needs. What did this do for their sense of security? It rather rocked them. Children in their time were considered the hope of the future. And for some time it seemed as though they would contribute nothing to the future. What about their sense of belonging? They were most likely feeling somewhat isolated and ashamed because they had not produced a baby. Society can be cruel and cold with its petty assumptions of what success looks like. We drive one another in lots of wrong directions. Their self-esteem at a very low level until the angel showed up, only slightly encouraged by the promise of a baby boy named John. How could they be sure that this was going to happen? They could only hope it was true. Nothing else. They had no reason to believe it. They're too old. It's either a miracle or it isn't. Your Christian life is either a miracle or it isn't. Live in the miracle. Live in the miraculous. Let go of yourself. Get over yourself. And let it be all about God. The only thing I ever gave up in my life was garbage. When I look back, it's the only thing I can't give up. Stupidity, gave up. Ignorance, yeah, gave that up. Wasting energy, yeah, gave that up. That's all. I gave him everything, and all I lost was garbage. He started from pretty much a clean slate. There was not much left. That's all I had. Then John came along. Zacharias got his voice back. Here you go. Don't doubt, Zach. And their self-esteem rose to new heights. As far as their sense of personal accomplishment, they seemed content to give God glory for everything. When you give God glory, He is our esteem. Esteem God highly and your self-esteem is taken care of. Don't, and you'll never be able to jack it up high enough for it to be satisfactory. Mary and Joseph had God as their primary need. And at this, they were shaken as well. As the hope for what they believed would be their future seemed caught in a whirlwind of divine orchestration, human fear, doubt, and a glimmer of hope. If our primary hope is in God, then everything else is built subject to God and His will. If we live Maslow's hierarchy of needs without God, we will most assuredly find ourselves empty at the end of it. Just to consider, in conclusion, Psalm 42, verse 5 and verse 11. Psalm 43, verse 5. It's amazing. I actually read that in our Reflecting God this morning. And then it came back out in the reading, which I'd forgotten was in there. And there it is again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Yeah. Hope in God, who is yet the help of my countenance. So our hope is in God. Our hope is in God more than in what He does. Our hope is in God for who He is. Amen. And we're going to be just fine. You may not get the things you want. You may not even have the things you need sometimes. You feel you need. But we're going to be all right. God is living in our lives for the sake of others, not just ourselves. Not just ourselves. Sometimes that will be inconvenient. But it's always the best.